You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. So you know everybody has those words that you just like the sound of for whatever reason. They sound good coming out of your mouth. And one of mine has always been wretched. That's a word that can't possibly mean anything but what it means, right? I mean, you look at the way it's, so you're like, wretched, the way it sounds. You're like, oh yeah, that definitely means what it means. Until you say it like 80 times and then you're like, is that some kind of Hawaiian fruit? But regardless, one must agree that the title of this film in the current release, The Wretched, is considerably better than their original title they played festivals with this movie, which was Hag.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, made some people uncomfortable, and also apparently it's an acronym young people use for God knows what, something. So they were like, okay, so they spent like a whole day tossing around titles and finally kind of, it felt like settled for The Wretched, but I think it's fine.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. The theme is the title of the movie.
I mean, they certainly couldn't call it The Witch, because that's taken.
No, that's The Vvitch.
The Vvitch, yeah. So long as they spelt with a W instead of two Vs, they probably would have been safe. This is about a witch. It is not that kind of a witch. It's not like really any other kind of witch we've really seen in a movie. In fact, it feels an awful lot more like if you ever read that Brian Froud's Book of Fairies that came out in the 70s and it's been reprinted 1,000 times. The same guy did all the designs for Labyrinth and the Dark Crystal and all that. But he had all these fairies aren't just like, yeah, I'm a fairy. I'm happy. I fly around. They're like horrible, evil creatures and demons and monsters in the woods from all over like Eastern Europe. And it felt like it was one of those things. And sure enough, looking it up, it looks like this comes largely from the mythology of Black Annie, which was a Eastern European haggish type creature with magical powers. And then mixed with another one whose name I can't remember that likes to climb inside people and take over their identity. But anyway, before we go too much farther into the wretched slash hag, I am Chris. Joining me is London.
Hey.
Bradley.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Hello.
Aaron's all mad because I told him he can't drink his drinks during the podcast anymore because they're too loud. Now he's all like, damn it, Chris, what am I supposed to drink? How am I supposed to do this? Daddy can't make the magic happen without the whiskey.
I just chugged in right before we started recording. You missed that when I was having the audio difficulties. I was just like, no, it's okay. I just drank it. We're good. And I will say that I didn't even realize that it was a witch in this movie until we got to the investigative portion. I spent like half to two-thirds of this movie going, this is actually a really interesting new like monster or demon or creature or whatever the fuck have you that they're throwing into this movie, and kind of being impressed with how original it was. And then when it was an old witch, it's like, oh, okay.
Cool. Well, yeah, it's a witch only in the most tertiary of ways, like in no certainly way that we think of a witch being. There's no familiarity there at all. It definitely is more of at closest to a sort of original Grimm's fairy tales type of witch to anything else, you know. And by the way, directed by two brothers, which is more and more turning into a thing, like brother team director writers. These two brothers, Brett and Drew T. Pierce, billed as the Pierce brothers, who previously had done a horror comedy, zombie buddy comedy called Deadheads that, if I remember correctly, people really liked, but I did not see it. This film, not a comedy per se, but certainly more of the feel of a late 80s, early 90s theatrical release horror is what the vibe I'm getting from this. What you get is 17-year-old Ben, who's played by John Paul Howard. He's heading out to join his father, Liam, played by Jameson Jones, for summer, where his dad lives in a lakeside resort. It's not really as nice as that might seem on the outset. Apparently, his parents are separated. He's really unhappy about it. He's been getting into trouble, juvenile type hijinks. He's broken his arm and has a cast, and he's got to take a job working at the harbor alongside his dad, who's sort of the harbor master there. And I say harbor, don't picture like big giant ships. I mean, this is like country club harbor.
It's a dock.
Like a bunch of, yeah, exactly.
It's a dock. It's Michigan. They're in Michigan. So it's like one of the Great Lakes.
Exactly. So he's really upset right off the bat. Found his dad's already got a girlfriend, Sarah, played by Ozzie Tespe, who apparently is a big television actress. Has been in a lot of stuff. but he really is just all right off the bat determined to cause trouble, basically. And he even abandons their introductory dinner to party with a group of local teenagers, one of which he kind of has a crush on and actually has a shot with, clearly, who likes him. The other one he totally has a crush on, and she's just looking to play with his emotions, you know, as you do. And when you're in high school, the weird shit that's happening, it goes to when we see the next door neighbors who have a much bigger house than they do. It's a hipster cover couple, Zara Mahler and Kevin Bigley, who are renting the house. The wife, Abby, is kind of, she's kind of cool. She wears like metal t-shirts when she's taking care of her kids. I'm like, okay.
She's the cool mom. She's the cool
mom. Yeah.
Exactly. But Ben realizes something is going on. Something's crawling around their house and maybe even under their house. Now, we know as the viewer, having seen it already, that this is this creature that crawled out of a deer that the dad had shot and killed. Like, it just literally after they left it, like, opened up the deer and came out of it and then crawled under the house.
Did the dad shoot and kill it? I thought that the mom, like, hit it on the way home.
Oh, I thought the dad shot him. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
But no, because the dad raised a hoopla about it, because he seems to be more the nice, he's the more sensitive version of the couple, because he's like, oh, you brought a dead carcass to our house. Why'd you do that? And she's like, it's going to be cool when we clean and eat it.
In almost any other movie, he would have been the parody liberal kind of husband who we laugh at how woke he is and how terrible he is in that regard. like truly, he got like within a hair's breadth of being that character.
True.
Yeah.
But it's very quick that Ben is the only one who knows what's going on. When the mom gets taken over by this thing, her children start disappearing. When the dad is questioned about this, like going, hey, where are your kids? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had any kids. And Ben is like, what the fuck is going on here? So we get the point very early on. This creature has a thing where, A, it can climb inside of other people's bodies, but that starts to, and I mean literally physically, not like a psychic, like Jean Grey or something. I mean, like, she scoops them out and climbs inside and wears them as skins. But that only lasts so long before the skins start to rot. And we see she has the ability to make people forget other people in their lives. Ben has two problems. One, convincing anyone to take him seriously that this is happening at all. And two, which one of these two girls is he going to try to sleep with?
I'll be honest, I didn't even realize that there were two girls until, again, like halfway through the movie. Because they, in my mind, they look similar. Maybe not.
Just thought it was a really frantic bipolar teen that liked him.
I was really weirded out when kind of, because there's a certain point where the one that he's super into, who's just toying with him, kind of plays a prank on him. And the next day, you see him trying to interact with the other one. And I was very confused, like, why the fuck would you try to talk to her after she did that to you? Because that is not cool, man. And it wasn't until they had their dialogue scene that it was like, oh, they're separate people. Cool. Okay, that reframes this movie quite a bit in my mind.
Wow, really? I'm just kind of surprised. I thought they looked pretty different, but I sure.
Yeah, it was dark. I don't know. I have no excuses, honestly, which is kind of surprising because I, for the most part, really enjoyed this movie. And especially the first two-thirds of it, I thought worked really well. The creature, as it's used in the beginning, I think is pitch perfect. They do a good job of using just the fingers to sell a little bit of movement and creep. And it again doesn't feel so much like a witch, so much as this like really horrible malevolent force, almost like a demon. In fact, my biggest complaint going into the movie was that my favorite character, who was the mom, you know, dies right out of the gate pretty much, because then she's possessed by this skin wearer. And it was really kind of frustrating having my favorite character bite the dust so early on in the movie. I wanted her to be the main character.
Did you notice, by the way, a nice touch? I didn't even pick up till I was reading an interview with the director. She always dressed kind of, you know, kind of punky and cool until she gets possessed. And then suddenly she's very feminine and is wearing nice dresses and everything.
I did.
Yeah, she's trying to trick everybody. This is what the creature thinks a nice housewife is like, is what I got from that vibe.
Yeah, she's almost a metal wife in the beginning. Like, you get the sense that she's the lady from You're Next, basically. You know, like, super competent and badass. And then, oh, shit, no, she's dead.
And she's a Stepford wife demon.
That is the other thing. Fair warning to anyone involved, because this did get to me. There is kid death in this movie. Not going to tell who, why, how, but there's more than one, in fact. And it kind of surprised me when it happened.
There is, like, I mean, with this sort of mythos that they're tying into, like, the whole the baby stealing, like, old hag thing is kind of a reoccurring thing with those types of folklore. So I'm not really wildly surprised that that was a big element of it. But I like it because it does definitely, A, puts you much more in the game. Like, okay, movie, you can't be killing kids. All right. That's not cool. First off. So right there, rooting for our hero to stop this anyway and frustrated with him as he can't find a way to sell anyone on that this is the reality of the situation. But I like as well, there's a point where it's clear that he has got to step up or kids are going to, who've been taken, will die. And I like that that kind of sets a timer going in the third act.
I honestly really like the characterization in that respect, because he really is proactive. I mean, you know, when he sees something's up, he goes right to it. He's like, yep, something's up here. You know, some characters are like, oh, what's this? This seems, I don't know. I guess I don't know what's going on. But no, right away, like, up, there's a witch demon. I got to look it up. Figure it out. Okay, got it.
Yeah, it takes him time to go, that's a witch demon, motherfucker. You fully expect if there's a Wretched 2, it's like 10 years later, and now he's like one of the Winchester brothers. He's like, oh no, I got this.
Instead of a cast, he has like a gun arm.
Yeah, right?
It's like, I liked his character, but I ended up actually being disappointed with how little witching happened in the movie. I haven't decided if this is me having preset expectations going in. I wanted more scenes of the witch being kind of evil, because I never really bought into his neighbor being creepy. And like, I got excited about the movie when she started switching bodies. I thought that was cool. I think I ended up wanting more of that, where the witch was bouncing between bodies and he wasn't sure who was who anymore. And maybe a higher death count, I guess, is what I'm saying. But I think I'm okay with what was shown. I found myself going, okay, movie, I get what's going on. Let's move it to the next phase of this. Let's get more active.
I did think, what I found was a little strange was that there was a lot of characters in this movie, and we kind of bounced around perspectives quite a bit. Like, because in the neighbor's family, the one with the wife who gets, or the mother who gets possessed, she has a child too, and he's kind of like, you know, he has this whole dynamic where he's looking at it and seeing his mom acting weird and creepy, and so then he starts to connect with the with Ben. And I was like, okay, so something's going to happen here. But then it takes another direction. And so then we jump from Ben to his party. Then we go, do kind of look at the dad and how, like, he's dealing with this new girlfriend. It's like, okay, it seems like we're floating around quite a bit.
I mean, it is a waterfront town, so.
Well, that dad had, like, expected way too much from his teenage son to just have the son respect and honor that he's dating this hottie. And I thought those were very weird sequences, and they didn't really land for me when the dad seemed almost like an alcoholic, but he was really just frustrated that his son didn't appreciate his new sexy lifestyle. I don't know.
You're right, Brad. The dad was weirdly unexplored for a character that is, his relationship with his son is so key to the third act setting off the way that it does.
Yeah.
That if that doesn't become fully established, if you don't buy that connection between them, or at least understand it really in anything but the most simple way that the movie sets up, then it's not as convincing. And I would have liked to have seen the father been explored and that relationship with his son be explored a little more delicately, a little more interestingly.
Agreed, because you tend to see this kind of movie either the parent is a main character, like in that remake of Fright Night, where like Toni Collette, she's a major character in that movie, or the parents are just not involved at all because it's not about them. And this feels like a story that should have been the former but ended up being the latter.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. Bradley, you said the least out of all of us, so I'm going to put you in charge of starting it off, and you can go as long as you need to.
I won't go that long. Thank you, though. Very tempting to drone on and on after that. When I was born, I'm just kidding.
So for this one, we're going to have to go all the way back to the Civil War.
35 years ago, just as the movie starts out. Anyways, I really enjoyed this, actually. It was pretty good. You know, I see a ton of horrible horror movies. We watched Santa Jaws after this, and we didn't even make it to the second
act. There's a movie called Santa Jaws.
There is. There's a movie called
that. I don't even know what it's about, but I can tell you that's a bad movie.
I can't really follow the lore in this, but it reminded me a lot of awesome lore, like you're saying, Chris. There's like a changeling sequence almost in the film that I thought was top-notch. Yeah. Very upsetting. That's when, you know, a fairy steals your baby and leaves something behind, and you just accept that you don't have a baby anymore. So that disturbed me. I'm still shook thinking about it. I thought the baby monitor use, always very cool. More horror films should put babies in peril in this way, I think. Not necessarily eat them, but I digress. I like the kind of sticky, gooey practical effects, you know.
It's yes.
really fun to see things rip and tear and blah. And, you know, a lot of the violence in this was so wretched, I could almost smell and taste it. Like, blah, you know, like kind of standing next to a stranger at a bus stop. It's a little creepy. Just remember, it can't hurt you, right? And I kind of like the final showdown that they had here. You know, I expected it to go one way, you know, with a big catchphrase, and then the witch be like, "Oh, damn you teenagers." And then it didn't go that way. I was pleasantly surprised, and everybody kind of, you know, came together. I could kind of see the storytelling was like, this kid has to stop these other kids from disappearing because he's a lost kid himself, since his dad doesn't really love him anymore and he has no place in his family. And that's powerful stuff. I just don't think it really landed for me. So I'm going to give this 7 dressed deers out of 10.
Aaron?
All right. So I'm probably going to say a lot of negativity about this and then give this movie a surprisingly high rating. I think this movie is about the wrong character. I think the main character should have been the little kid in the family that's beset by the witch. I think the first 2/3 of this movie, maybe first half, are on point. The imagery, the horror, it all works. But once they got into the body swapping, and once the main character, once it kind of like funneled down to where he was the one who was mainly doing everything, I actually got a lot less interested in it. And I think that's just because I really liked what they were doing in the beginning so much that I ended up being frustrated because it just became more and more rote. And there's a third act twist that I want to say could have been a clever idea, but it ended up just making me roll my eyes because it just adds a whole new layer to it, which could have worked, but it ends up just being manipulative. Having said that, though, the sequences with the witch are truly affecting. There's a bit when the kid sees his mom being taken over, or not, whatever, whether it's his mom being taken over or the witch getting used to the body. It's a creepy ass sequence, and it's great. And so much so that I kept wanting them to go back. Like, the kills are good. The story overall is pretty entertaining. Monster itself is interesting and nuanced enough that I could watch more movies about this in a completely different setting. And I even like the fact that this isn't some parable of, you know, you fuck up and you do this and therefore you're having this evil visited upon you. This is just a thing out there in the world that they come upon and it latches onto them. And I thought that was really cool. I think if you're a horror nut, you're going to really like this movie, but it's not perfect. It has quite a few flaws, but I think that the director and writer are going to be able to make some really quality entertainment in the future. I think I'm going to give it, you know, my first idea was too gross. I don't want to go with that. So let's go with 7 creepy holes in the woods. Out of 10.
London?
In the beginning, I thought it was really effective. There was a lot of creepy scenes. I mean, we brought up to the one, you know, when this child sees his mother acting weird. And also the baby monitor scene. That was, whoa, that took me back.
Holy shit, that was so good.
Ooh, boy. I did not see that coming. It was bad. And so And I just think that in the beginning, when it was doing more creepy stuff, I thought that's when it was effective. Because as it went along, it just kind of became more of just a monster flick. And I think it did lose a little bit of that charm. One other note I want to add is the sound. I think the sound is excellent.
Agreed. In
this movie. It's like the grisly effects of the skin tearing, the cutting, the biting, the blood. It's the sound. It's so visceral. Speaking of the sound, I thought the score was really odd, because in the beginning it was kind of a traditional horror, and towards the middle it started having this kind of kid movie music, like almost like Goosebumps type of score, like sound too. I'm like wait, what's going on here? Like, what? And then it goes right back to horror, and I was really confused by that. Like, I don't know what they were going with. I'm gonna give this 7 gluten-free biscuits out of 10.
So I think we're largely on the same page, except one divisor. Half of us, I think, kind of like the third act of this a lot, because I'm with Bradley on that. I actually really enjoyed the way this ramped up in the third act. And half of us preferred the first two acts. I thought it took a little longer than I wanted it to get to the point. And I like a good monster chase movie. I was ready for it. And the third act really delivered on, like, how in the fuck are we going to beat this thing? And I think if overall this was a better film than it was, it would have been unbearable tension, that third act, in a good way.
Yeah.
As it is, it's like just kind of fun and goopy. And like you said, London, man, what a great job with the sound design. I love that, like, whenever she's trying to fit into a body, you can hear the bones cracking and everything. It's like, ugh, very disturbing. I love that all the effects were practical. I think that they look terrific. I love that it's gory, but it's never gory with the sort of thing you're like, oh, come on, why'd you have to show that? It's gory when it needs to be, and it pulls back and lets you imagine what's happening when that is more effective. And boy, there are some scenes that is considerably more effective than anything you're actually seeing on screen, for sure. I think this is well shot. This is not a game changer horror. I mean, for better or worse, your results may vary. It's no You're Next or Hereditary or It Follows. This is not going to be one of those movies that people are going to be arguing about over the next 10 years of whether it's a masterpiece or absolutely terrible. This is a pretty damn good, like, goopy little monster hunt film that's kind of a throwback in style in some ways, but in a very pleasant way. And I think it also, but it never feels like it's trying to play it safe for the theater either. So it's got kind of the atmosphere of the, oh, coming of age story with the kids and their problems mixed with a monster hunt movie that was such a hallmark of 80s and 90s early horror, but mixing in a lot more goopiness and heaviness and darkness to it than you'd expect. I love, like, Eastern European folklore stuff. It's so dark and fucked up, and these guys just kind of picked their favorite parts of it and mashed it together for this new and, dare I say, somewhat iconic creature that I would totally watch another movie with. Main complaints are just, like I said, there's no real big relationship with the dad that needs to be there. It needed to be, that whole part of the film needed to be worked out better. Even the stuff with him and the two girls was just, it felt a little like these guys are doing this because they have to have something like this in here. It felt like, let's just get past this so we can get to the monster stuff. And I wasn't crazy, although it certainly is de rigueur for the type of movie they're making here, to have the epilogue that's like, it's not over. Oh, you know,
I hated that.
I generally, unless it's really funny when movies find a way to make that epilogue funny as hell, I'm not crazy about those things. And this one was one I was like, we didn't need that. Why did you do that? I would rather you had not done that. But all things considered, I think this is a fun little romp. I think this is horror fans in general will really enjoy this, like serious horror fans. And I think light horror fans who just like want something that's a good scarer, but is something that's easy to identify with, are going to have fun with this too. It's a good sort of well-rounded horror that doesn't take a huge amount of chances, but it doesn't really need to. It is what it is. I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10 completely gutted children.
God damn it. See, that was the one that I wouldn't do. You know, it's funny. When I was watching this movie, my wife came in at the tail end, and I actually turned to her and went, you know, I'm really happy. I thought this movie was going to do a shitty sequel setup, and they haven't and I got that far into the movie before they did the sequel setup. And I was like, oh, no, fuck, never mind. They did it.
I'm sorry, Aaron. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for the gutted children just lying around with their insides ripped out by a horrible creature. I mean, like, literally, just like dead children everywhere. I'm so sorry for that. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Should I stop describing that?
You're evil, Chris.